Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep.
All right, team. Today, we're diving deep into some gnarly injuries like pelvic fractures associated with urethral injuries, bladder ruptures, and that terrifying beast, abdominal compartment syndrome.
That's right, Mars. So let's kick things off with pelvic fractures and urethral injuries.
Lay it on them, Chris. What's the classic picture you're going to see?
For sure. The most common presentation for a pelvic fracture with a urethral injury is usually a male patient with a pelvic ring or open book fracture. You're going to spot blood at the urethral meatus, maybe some perineal bruising, and a prostate that's either high riding or non-palpable.
Oof, classic. So what's actually happening? What's the pathophysiology behind that?
Good question. It's all about shear or distraction tears of the posterior or membranous urethra, where it's tethered to the urogenital diaphragm. This is why it's almost always seen in males, and it happens in about 5 to 10% of major pelvic fractures.
Got it. So it's a structural thing. Now, for the diagnostic moves, what's the absolute first thing you do not do, and what's the right play here for diagnosis?
This is a major shelf trap, Mars. You do not pass a Foley catheter first. You need to perform a retrograde urethrogram. This is where you place the Foley tip in the tip of the penis, then pass some contrast through the urethra. This is usually done by X-ray. Another trap is not performing a rectal exam on patients with complex pelvic fractures. You may find rectal injuries from broken pelvic bone in addition to the urethral injury.
And what may happen if you force that Foley first? What's the trap?
You create a false passage and can actually worsen the tear. Not cool.
No bueno indeed. So once you've got the diagnosis, what's the treatment?
For a bad injury, you place a suprapubic catheter. This is where you actually insert a tube through the lower abdomen directly into the bladder to decompress the bladder. Then you plan a delayed urethroplasty or endoscopic realignment, usually around 3 to 6 months later once the pelvis has healed up. If it's a low-grade partial injury, you might get away with a gentle catheter placement under fluoroscopy, leaving it in for 2 to 3 weeks.
Super helpful. Next up, let's talk about bladder ruptures. Chris, what's the scoop on the two main types and their mechanisms?
All right, so bladder ruptures come in two main flavors: extraperitoneal, which accounts for about 80% of cases, and intraperitoneal, making up the other 20%.
Break down the mechanism for us. How does each one happen?
The extraperitoneal type usually results from a pelvic rim fracture that shears the bladder neck or trigone. Think those high-impact pelvic traumas. On the flip side, intraperitoneal ruptures are typically caused by a direct blow to a distended bladder dome, often from a seatbelt injury or hitting the steering wheel.
Makes sense. And what are the presentations for each?
Both types will usually present with gross hematuria and suprapubic pain. Patients might also have urinary retention, but with an intraperitoneal rupture, you'll also see signs of diffuse peritonitis because, well, urine is leaking into the peritoneal cavity.
Gross. So how do we confirm the diagnosis? What's the gold standard imaging?
You guessed it. The go-to diagnostic tool is a CT cystogram. For an extraperitoneal bladder rupture, the CT cystogram will show contrast tracking around the prostate or into the retropubic space. If it's intraperitoneal, you'll see the contrast outlining the bowel loops. And here's an extra pearl. Any patient with a pelvic fracture and gross hematuria must get a CT cystogram, even if their standard CT abdomen pelvis looks normal.
And what's the treatment for these two types?
For an extraperitoneal bladder rupture, you generally manage it with Foley drainage for 14 days. You'll do a repeat cystogram before removing the Foley. But for an intraperitoneal rupture, you're looking at surgical repair plus an abdominal washout. You'll still leave a Foley in while the bladder repair heals. This is key. Extraperitoneal injury is just a Foley. Intraperitoneal injury is surgery.
Any pitfalls to watch out for with bladder injuries?
Absolutely. A big trap is that a standard trauma CT without a cystogram can miss 15 to 30% of ruptures. And delaying repair, especially for an intraperitoneal rupture, can lead to nasty chemical peritonitis and even sepsis. Not the vibe you want.
All right, let's pivot to another critical and super high-yield topic, abdominal compartment syndrome, or ACS. Walk us through the classic red flag scenario. What are we looking for?
This is a big one. Typically, these patients are extremely sick. They may be acidotic, hypothermic, and coagulopathic. Abdominal compartment syndrome is seen in polytrauma patients, usually due to massive resuscitation, as all the fluid causes swelling of the organs in the abdomen, mostly the bowel. This is also seen in patients with severe pancreatitis due to the fluid sequestration.
That sounds like a straight-up emergency. What's the pathophysiology that causes all this chaos?
It's a vicious cycle. Massive fluid resuscitation combined with ongoing bleeding leads to significant visceral and bowel wall edema. That swelling dramatically raises the intra-abdominal pressure, typically to over 20 millimeters of mercury. That elevated pressure then messes with everything. It decreases venous return to the heart, increases airway pressures, and slashes renal perfusion. All of this can quickly spiral into multi-organ failure.
So how do you actually diagnose it? How do you measure that pressure?
The key to diagnosis is measuring bladder pressure via a Foley manometer. When it's more than 20 with associated organ dysfunction, that's abdominal compartment syndrome. You'll also want to track serial lactate levels, pH, and temperature to monitor their overall physiologic debt.
All right, so you've diagnosed abdominal compartment syndrome. What's the treatment?
You got it. The definitive treatment is a decompressive laparotomy. First, you make a midline incision and release the pressure. Then, if necessary, you take care of any other issues, such as removal of bowel and washing out blood.
And then you leave them open, right? Like open to the elements.
Precisely. You leave the abdomen open, often using a negative pressure vac or a Bogota bag, which is basically a sterile plastic bag sewn to the skin edges. The plan is a second look operation in 24 to 48 hours after you've had time to warm the patient, give them transfusions, and correct the coagulopathy. Definitive closure of the abdomen only happens when their hemodynamics, temperature, and coagulation are all normalized, which can often be a third operation.
That's wild, but it makes sense. Any big pitfalls or traps to remember here?
The biggest trap, and this is critical, is closing the fascia under tension. If you do that, you're basically setting them up for a rebound compartment syndrome overnight, which can lead to cardiac arrest. When in doubt, leave it open. Another trap is forgetting to measure bladder pressure in a ventilated oliguric patient, which means you'll miss the diagnosis and delay decompression. And finally, be careful with aggressive crystalloid boluses. They can worsen gut edema.
Awesome. That was a lot of info, but all crucial for the shelf. Let's wrap this up with 5 high-yield facts.
1, for suspected pelvic fracture urethral injuries, the absolute shelf rule is to never force a Foley catheter first. Always perform a retrograde urethrogram.
2, bladder ruptures need specific imaging, a CT cystogram. If the bladder injury is extraperitoneal, the treatment is a Foley. If the bladder injury is intraperitoneal, the patient needs emergency surgery.
3, abdominal compartment syndrome typically happens in patients that need a lot of resuscitation, such as a trauma patient. A common scenario on the shelf exam is a patient with pancreatitis who develops end organ damage and requires a ventilator.
4, the gold standard for diagnosing abdominal compartment syndrome is measuring bladder pressure via a Foley manometer. Intra-abdominal pressure over 20 with organ dysfunction defines the syndrome.
And 5, the treatment for abdominal compartment syndrome is decompressive laparotomy.
All right, team, keep studying. We'll see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.
Later.